I've been playing outdoors since I was a kid, standing by the front door at around 2 years old, hollering, "Side, side," trying to get my mom to let me go play outside. Now, after 30-plus years working in the outdoor business, I'm dropping insider conversations every week with brand leaders, guides, marketers, CEOs, and others that make the outdoor business a trillion-dollar juggernaut that drives product innovation, revenue, and public policy for everything outdoors. I'm Rick Sayes. Welcome to the Outdoor Biz Podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts.
You've tuned in to Columbia Calling, your first stop for everything you want to know about Columbia. How and where to invest, where to visit. From the Pacific to the Caribbean, the Andes Mountains to the Amazon jungle, Columbia has a slice of everything. Shooting from the hip, answering the questions that need answering. Here's your host, the journalist and hotelier Richard McCall, shedding some light on the fashionable South American destination of Columbia.
It's that time of the week again, folks. It's me, your host, Richard McCall, here in the Social Coffee House in downtown Chapinero, Bogota. Yes, we're 2,600 meters closer to the stars. Episode 189, who would have ever thought it? And this week's guest is Brendan Corrigan, who, and I'm going to read out what his title is, and then you guys can make a decision or not whether you agree with it. But Brendan claims to be a broadcast journalist, come writer, come teacher, come gutter socialite. So welcome on Columbia Calling, Brendan.
Well, thank you, Richard. Yeah, my time has come. Finally. Finally, I've made it. Episode 189. Yeah.
Well, you know, I tried to get you on before, but we just never got together and stuff. But anyway, that's
all fun. In its own good time.
Yeah, you know, these things happen when they're meant to happen. And you were in the area. And so hang on. Let's just start with what you were doing nearby. You were at a screening. Is that right?
Yeah, or a casting, I guess, okay. They call them. Yeah, I mean, people who might be familiar with Bogota here know that from time to time there is a requirement for foreigners to be extras or super extras if you have a line. So I was actually going to a casting. I mean, after 5 years of doing this, it kind of loses a bit of appeal, or at least it's not as shiny and cool as it seemed in the past. But I went anyway, and who knows, if I get the part, it'd be, you know.
And how much is this genuinely paid?
See, that's another good question, because it depends on who you're dealing with. Generally, if you get lines, if you have lines to say, you should be looking at 500,000 pesos.
For how long work?
You could be lucky. You could go in and out, get your... For example, I did something in Narcos, too. Yeah. I had... What was it? Hello, Embajada Alemana. That was it. I answered
the
phone. Yeah, I was a German embassy official answering the phone to Pablo Escobar. Now, I did kind of get shafted on the money, though, because it was a line. And they say, once you get mic'd up, minimum now, you should be looking for 500,000 pesos. Uh-huh. But with that particular agency, I won't name names, but I did write about it on my blog anyway at the time. I only got paid 180,000. Now, okay, you can say only. It's fine money. Like, you know, if you're earning minimum wage here, that's fine money. Mm-hmm. But when you know what can be made, sometimes it's a little bit disappointing. Also, and typical in the country that we're in, foreign extras generally get paid more than Colombians. Hmm. Back in the day, and I think it's still around this, some Colombians are only getting 20 to 40,000 pesos. And they could be, if you're just a standard everyday extra, you could be on set for 14 hours as long as they want you there. And they treat you like a dog, or even worse. I remember there was a dog who had a part in one thing, and the dog was getting paid more than most of the extras. Look, it's not always about money, obviously. And I know people come and they're kind of with the idea of TV and Narcos, especially, was a big thing known all over the world. The chance to have a little part in it is cool. But the joke, well, it's not a joke, it's the truth. If I had a euro for every time somebody said, "Oh, I just saw you in Narcos," I would have earned more money, I think, than what I actually got paid.
I would expect you to have got more for Narcos, and especially even though they had two words, but I would have expected for something of that stature.
Of course.
The crowd that it's going to pull in of viewers, I mean, you'd think that. And how many days' work was it, though?
No, it was only one day. Okay. It was a few hours. No, so in fairness, when you take it hour per hour, it was great. Yeah. But I'm just saying that you know what other people are getting. Mm-hmm. For example, I was on another thing, an RSANA production,
yeah,
where a little bit more work to it. I had to actually walk with a phone in my hand. You know, so I could have tripped up like Bart Simpson style, the I didn't do it kid or something. So there's a bit more to it. And I had a couple of more lines. Well, it was in English, I think, this one. But there was an Australian guy on the set at the same time, and he practically had the same work, but with a different agency. He earned double the money. I got 500,000, he got 1 million. So, I mean, look, as I said, 500,000 is great. It pays my rent. But there can be double standards, but it's even worse, as I said, for the Colombians.
Yeah, but to see 1 million would have paid 2 months' rent.
Well, there you go, exactly. So that old saying, it can always be worse, but it can be better as well.
So I think this is really funny, because I've never been cast in anything, despite having gone to many, many of these castings, because I figure that the more I turn down and the more I claim, then the big jackpot will come in one day. So I won't do anything for less than 700,000.
Well, there you go. Yeah. You got to have your price,
I figure I won't do it, and I won't do anything that's really, like, I'm not advertising margarine. I mean, that's it. I'm waiting for the Maserati to roll in. I can't believe
it's not butter.
Yeah. If I've turned down enough, therefore they'll think that I know what I'm doing, that they'll, okay, well, this guy's serious.
Yeah, he's not messing around. Well, you're right, though. The commercials are where the money is at. Yeah. So, because, the general extra, super extra work in TV productions generally is less money. I've heard people, like, getting up to 2 million plus for commercials, but I've never had luck with a commercial. I have a face for radio, really, or usually a policeman or some sort of a thing like that.
Or a German ambassador.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know the story why Pablo Escobar was calling the German embassy. Is there a
Well, I'm taking it that it was based on fact that, I think he... Was there some issue that they were looking for asylum in Germany or looking to get that? There's something like that, because this was January 1993, so a few...
Quite close.
Close to his death.
Yeah.
And, he's basically like, mal parido, or whatever. So he's not saying nice things to me, that he was going to blow up the embassy, because...
In general terms, I would expect that Pablo had probably called a bunch of other embassies before the German
embassy.
So I think, any Hispanic embassy would have been called prior to
German. You would imagine. First on my list. Yeah. Big egg.
So anyway, check out when you're watching Narcos Series 2 when it's out. Or is it out?
Oh, it's been out. They're on the series. I've never actually watched it. I was at home last September when it was out.
Yeah.
And all my family are into it. So I saw my little part. But I don't know, I guess because... And I think I've met a lot of expats who live here. They don't want to watch it because they kind of feel it's not a true representation or whatever. I don't know, but people like it. Other people like it, so I don't know.
It's not for us that live here. I think that's... There are representations that are true. There's history that's true. I had a good chat with Adrian Alselmo about this, him of Columbia Reports.
Yeah.
And he said that people now know who Gaitan is or was, that Galan, that people know these things and these stories around it and know the politics a little bit more about Colombia is a good thing. And I think, well, actually, you've got a real point that there is a greater knowledge and education going on about these things. Whether or not it's completely 100% accurate, I don't know. And it's not made for us here. It's not made for the Colombian market. It's made to sell to the big bucks, mega markets, to the UK, Ireland, the States.
Yeah.
And of course, that's why the Pablo guy is Brazilian, to sell to the Brazilian market.
Of course.
I guess that's it. But it's really funny that we should get to that through your casting. You're famous. So look out for the German ambassador or embassy worker in Narcos Series 2.
Running up the stairs.
That's our Brendan Corrigan. If you want to check out what Brendan's up to, do check out the newspaper eltiempo.com, which is the largest national newspaper here in Colombia. He's got a blog on that. It's the only thing written in English in that newspaper, and it's called Wrong Way Corrigan.
Wrong Way Corrigan.
I do have to ask to say Wrong Way because you're always going to, you just ended up on your ass here in Colombia.
Well, it is appropriate, actually, I guess, Wrong Way, maybe. It's certainly not what the typical Irish man or woman does come to South America. Usually you go to Australia, New Zealand, or Canada, or the States.
And you haven't opened an Irish pub.
I haven't, indeed. Well, there isn't one Irish owned pub here.
No.
All the pubs, in inverted commas, Irish pubs are either owned by Colombians or whatever. Yeah. But the wrong way, I won't go into the whole story, but okay, in a nutshell, how am I wrong way Corrigan? I'm not the original, sorry to say that, but I don't know, in history there was an American pilot by the name of Douglas Corrigan of Irish ancestry, and he wanted to fly, I think it was in 1938, from New York across the Atlantic Ocean to Ireland, his ancestral home. But it was at a time when not everybody could fly solo, so the US Aviation Authority denied him permission to take this flight. So on one particular day, he gets on his plane in New York and tells everybody he's flying from east to west across the United States. Up he gets on his plane and he flies across the Atlantic Ocean and lands in Ireland. And he famously, infamously became known as Wrong Way Corrigan. But he never admitted. He died in 1995 and he never admitted to deliberately doing. He said it was a mistake. Now, how on earth? I know some of us Corrigans mightn't be the brightest. No, but how do you fly over an ocean as opposed to land and not know? So obviously he knew what he was doing. But yeah, they have a festival to him in his native. He's from, is it some town in Texas anyway, or some city in
really?
Texas? Yeah, I think they have a festival to him. So I'm not the original, but I liked, one of my former colleagues in radio in Ireland used to call me Wrong Way Corrigan back in the day, and I just liked it. So when I started my original Google blog here, will I call it something specific to Colombia? Because I didn't know at that time was I going to be staying here, so I kept it more to kind of me. You can call it ego or whatever, but that was it. So Wrong Way Corrigan has stuck.
I like it. It's kind of like, well, he clearly knew where he was going.
Obviously.
It's not like a Van Diemen who missed Australia and Tasmania.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Like,
yeah.
That's always the greatest miss, in my opinion. I know that they're far away, but it's still the greatest miss. You've got Tasmania. Excellent. That is a really interesting story about which I had no idea whatsoever, and that's actually quite cool, and that ties in quite nicely, because it's clearly the answer to a pub quiz question. It really clearly is. It's like, who is the guy who pretended to do this and did this and died in 1995? It's Corrigan the pilot.
Yeah. Douglas was his first
Douglas
name.
Douglas Corrigan.
Yeah.
And of course, that ties me very well in, very cleverly there, that Brendan is the brains, the heart, the soul behind the Bogota pub quiz.
Yeah, I quizzed the Bogota pub quiz. So I haven't opened a pub. This is the next best thing, we'll say. We've had it now for over 2 years. Where did that come out of? I was home in Ireland, had to go home for a family event in February 2015. I went to a quiz when I was there, a pub quiz, and I thought, God, I missed these. And I didn't know of any anyway in Bogota, regular pub quizzes. So when I came back, I had a good Dutch friend at the time, Peter Hupkes, was here, talked to him, and he thought, yeah, let's go with it. So we spoke to the pub in Zona T. I got contact with the manager there. And yeah, they were happy with the idea. Said we'd give it a lash in terms of we didn't know how many people would turn up. But the first one was actually relatively successful. I think we might have had maybe 50 people turn up for it.
Well, that's good.
That's good.
But that pub pulls in the crowd.
Yeah, it
too.
Does, and that's
strangely
the thing. Yeah, we won't say anything. Both of us might prefer a little tiendita. Who knows? But no. We've moved it around the quiz because, as you know, this city has vast inequality, and places in Zona T, Parque 93, Zona Hay, they can be a bit expensive, and if you're trying to get people to come out on a night out where it's fun and maybe, you know, let the hair down, drink a few pints, you could easily drop 100,000 pesos. For some people that's not a lot, for other people it's enough, and right now in what I'm earning, that's enough. So I try and have it something middle of the road. Like, obviously I can't have it in my favourite tiendas in Santandercito or La Perseverancia. They're just not equipped for that, no one would come. But something middle ground, and price wise at the moment with Cervecería Gigante, which is Siete de Agosto, again not the most popular barrio, but it's not badly priced, and everyone who participates gets a complimentary drink on arrival as well, like the quiz itself, it seems to be getting good reviews. It's hard to know, I don't know, I was going to say like yourself, but if you know organising an event, you never know. Some days are good, some days are bad. The worst was like one I had last year, like 10 people turned up. March. Yeah, it was March last year. It was the night. Who was playing here? Was it the Rolling Stones? No,
they did play March.
Yeah.
Last year, yeah.
And it was a horrible night.
It rained.
Downpour.
Was, yeah.
Just it was the perfect storm, and it just all, yeah, 10 people. But that's been the worst. I mean, usually average is 30, 30. to it's 40 people.
Don't do it on October the 7th then, when you two are playing.
Oh, right.
It's confirmed today.
Confirmed. Oh, really? I didn't hear that.
First ever time in Colombia, so everyone's going nuts. I stopped listening to them after Axtung Baby, but okay. Anything prior to that is fine. But
Bono and myself were good mates.
Yeah, of course, you're from the same place.
He obviously forgot to send me a WhatsApp to tell me this.
He's going to ask you to lend him some specs. But anyway, so we'll take a short break there. We're talking to Brendan Corrigan here in Bogota. This is episode 189 of Columbia Calling. I'm Richard McCall. Don't go away. And we're back. This is Columbia Calling. I'm Richard McCall. Episode 189. We're here in Bogota in the Social Coffee House with Brendan Corrigan, who's at Radio Brendan, if you want to follow him on Twitter. And, of course, his blog on El Tiempo, the largest newspaper in the country, in Colombia, Wrong Way Corrigan. Now, let's talk a little bit about this blog, because you address, like, let's say, what's the word they use here? Las idiosincrasias. You address the idiosyncrasies of Colombia in that blog. And I'm just going to read a couple of titles of recent blogs. A prostitute by any other name is one. The thieving Catholics is another. And then there's various other things in there. But tell us, where does this blog come about? They're all based on personal experiences.
Well, yeah, not all the stories, but sometimes we write best when we're angry or annoyed over certain things. And it is a blog. I'm not being paid to promote tourism here or anything. Although I do write about when I travel. I was in Caquetá and Putumayo and everything like that. These stories, yeah, I knew this was going to be the hard part of the interview. Now I'm getting grilled. I've had some very interesting experiences, let's put it that way. If we use the last one, a prostitute by any other name. But actually, to be honest, without mentioning names, but it's about a Venezolana, not a Colombiana.
Okay.
But Latina in general. The point of the story is, in general, that if the basis of any relationship is just financial, and that's what pretty much this was, when you scrape everything away, it was pretty obvious that the woman in question had absolutely no emotional attachment to me. Well, then, what is it?
Yeah.
You can say interesada, but at the bottom, at the end of it all, it just seemed more like prostitution. Now, as I mentioned in the story, that can be fine if you want, because there's nothing technically wrong with prostitution in this country. If you're willing to do that, I'm not terribly comfortable with it. And of course, if this woman was to hear that her actions were being like a prostitute, I'm sure she wouldn't like it. But I don't know, what do you agree? If there's no emotional attachment whatsoever, and that was pretty clear, and the whole basis was financial.
Well, you
payment in kind and some direct payment.
You were...
But not where she would go, pay me, but...
It wasn't that you were leaving cash in the...
Well, no, it wasn't that regard.
But you were, you were picking up the tab.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
I'll say it close to the bone here, maybe, but first day that I was with her, I ended up... Now, I'm the idiot. Of course I'm the idiot. Of course I am. But there was a charade of a relationship there in one sense. But the first day, I ended up buying a jacket, which cost people would say the cost isn't that much or anything, but the whole point is, what makes it uncomfortable for me is, I like to think that somebody is with me because they like me in the same way. Yes. And I like to think I'm an honest guy as well.
Right.
So I will tell people, look, I like you or I don't like you. So when this false relationship kind of thing goes on and somebody tells you one thing, but then you really, you see the actions and it's the complete opposite of what they're telling you, well, it's not nice to take, really. So that's where that story came from. But I've kind of learned, or tried to learn the last few years here, that just go with the flow and don't take it so seriously.
Brendan, can I ask for the state of the listeners, how old you are?
I'm 32.
So you're in the market for a proper relationship. You're not 18 again.
Yeah, exactly. I guess, and that's another point, yeah. Richard. It's a good point that I'm kind of tired, and since I've been here, I've had a lot of these just flings, and then a lot of them have been, when I kind of analyze them at the end, I kind of go, what, was there anything actually in that?
Let's just say it's practice for the big game.
Yeah, exactly.
But I was just telling you like that. But I can understand this. Now I went through maybe a decade of this kind of thing, which is true, and it can clean you out, as is the other thing. But I understand. I understand that you're tired. I could relate to that. I am now a happily married man. I'm
good
tired
stuff.
Because I have a child. He's two years, two months old and never stops. That's a different story. But I understand. You're 32. But there is a level of maturity that comes with these years. I mean, I'm not saying that you're 40 like me or anything like that, but I can understand where you're sitting. And it's like you engage in what is the charade of a relationship because you think, well, that's, there's a relationship. That's it. You wrote this piece, and there were some quite sharp comments on the Facebook when you posted it online. There was all Latins aren't this way, and the generalizations.
You can generalize. I think on the actual maybe Facebook there were comments. I know on the LTMPO blog there were a few people supporting it, but mostly guys. Actually, the female side was a bit quiet. But yeah, you can't generalize. But then again, where do generalizations come from based on a pattern that people see? I mean, people say that the Irish like to drink. And you might go to Ireland and kind of go, ooh, they seem to drink a little bit.
Yeah.
But, so they come from unobserved behavior, perhaps. And in my experience here, I have met a number, I'm not to say a lot, but a number of these kind of type bordering on interesses, or where you just think they're only with you because they think you have money. I mean, unfortunately, they just need to look at my bank balance and they'll realize they could go somewhere else. But that's what I've met. Now, is that down to where I socialize or whatever? I don't know. It's a mixture of things, I guess. Because we're talking about the expensive parts of Bogota, because I know if you go to other towns and cities, you don't have that massive inequality like you do. Bogota is just a world in itself in that regard. But, if I do meet somebody who's out in Zona Day and it's a kind of girl who expects a guy to pay, well, I'm just not going to have enough money.
Yeah.
So I nearly prefer to meet a woman who likes to drink in a little tienda where she's happy to drink a beer for 3,000 or 3,000 or 4,000 or something like that. And again, for me, it's not the place, it's the company and the people I'm with.
And fully. Yeah, you covered yourself up well on that one. let's say now we had Brendan sweat a little bit. We'll step back. And now there was one that I particularly liked, and it's regarding the 2018 elections. We've got presidential elections 2018, and you've likened each of the supposed presidential candidates to Bavaria beers. So you've got Alejandro Aguilar Ordóñez, you've got Petro. Gustavo Poca Petro. Who was that? Was it Sergio Fajardo?
Fajardo, yeah. He was Pilsen, because of obviously the link to Medellin and things like that.
Did Claudia Lopez make it into your...
Yes, Claudia Lopez was Aguila
Light.
That was it, yeah, exactly. Somebody was Aguila Zero.
Who would be Aguila Zero?
I'm trying to remember the guys. God, I should...
Probably Navarro Wolf.
He's not in... Petro Poker, because the kind of populace, especially in Bogota, and poker is a big Bogota drink.
Yeah.
Ordóñez with the Aguila. I was limited to Bavaria. That was the whole point of the article. Obviously not to be taken that seriously, but because Aguila is kind of the traditional. It's got the Colombian colors and the traditional Colombian thing, and Ordóñez is
the traditional family.
Yes, exactly. A good, strong Catholic man.
He just formalized
his candidacy. Definitely getting my vote.
It's for his family. It's for our families. It's for Colombia's family. That's his kind of my slogan. I'm particularly happy about this. I liked it. I liked it because it reminded me of a piece I wrote several years ago about me and my friends being related to football teams in terms of our prowess with women.
Okay.
So you know, with my friend who, the face, just too good looking, he was Chelsea because he was untouchable.
All right.
Like, we could just throw him in there. I was Newcastle.
Okay, I'm not sure what that means.
But if you think about it, it's Clarence. Huge fan base, no silverware. So I'm seeing a similar thing there with these beers. I'm seeing a very similar thing. I like it very much.
Yeah.
But let's go a bit more serious in this presidential race. I mean, how do you see it unfolding in the next few months?
It is a tough one, actually. I mean, and we still have to know all of the full candidates at this stage.
They've got till December to.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So it's still a bit to go. I mean, you said Ordóñez is going to be in there. He's obviously going to have a strong support base.
Huge.
Because he is that traditional Colombia. And you can never underestimate the conservative vote in this country. Mm. I personally like the idea of... I don't know much about him, but I just like the idea of this Fajardo. Uh-huh. It's perhaps something fresh. But if we're coming back to the story, the reason I wrote it is that... can I say this? It's kind of Bavaria beer is la misma mierda. So it's like...
Everybody will agree with that.
Yeah, it's much of a muchness between the candidates, perhaps. But, conservative-wise here in this country, it never ceases to amaze me. So somebody like Ordóñez...
He will go
close. But the thing is, will he go Centro Democrático? No, I'm like, are they going to have their own guy? Then there are still a few things to be played out here. I mean, Petro could get a lot of support here, but it won't translate in the provinces. So Claudia Lopez as well. I mean, they're going to be also Rands if they run at all.
Yeah, you kind of expect that she's in this position right now to get a vice presidential seat.
Yeah,
you think that ticket, so let's say a Fajardo, you know, maybe her.
Yeah, Fajardo, the two of them could work.
It could be interesting. And Fajardo is an interesting concept because he was so successful in Medellin.
Yeah.
And of course, then Antioquia. And
the powerhouse of the country, of course.
That's it. And he's also a housewife's favorite. He's a handsome man. That's not ruled off. I mean, there's a reason Neil Kinnock never won.
Yeah.
It's the truth. They say, like, bold ginger man.
Exactly. And it's, you know, politics nowadays, it's all about the image, too.
The sound bite. Yeah. And of course, then you got Herman Vargas Lleras, who's been on the campaign trail for 2 years already, despite not being on the campaign trail, but very carefully on it. But it's a tough one. It's a tough one. And it's complex here. We just don't know how it's going to go. And there'll be some scandals. There'll be some hacking scandals.
You've got to throw those in there, yeah.
Yeah, there'll be some scandals. Probably. Who knows if Ordóñez will get some sort of scandal out. I mean, you know, he turned a blind eye or wasn't looking when all the Odebrecht scandal was taking place. And how does that happen? Anyway, let's not get too serious.
Who watches the watchdog? Eh?
Yeah, that's the other thing. But let's go back. Now, you mentioned in that last segment that you're living in Santandercito. And previous to that, you lived in La Perseverancia.
Well, I never lived in La Perseverancia.
Oh, did you not?
No, I just used to socialize. And still do socialize there, actually, from time to time.
I just figured you'd live there because I always saw the...
Because I was really always there. A kind of representative mayor there, yes.
Well, that's it. You drop in for the good times and then leave.
Exactly, leave them at it.
Helicopter parenting. But Santandercito, give us a little bit of a background about that, because I had no idea that this place even existed until I saw that you lived there.
Yeah, well, I live next to it, but it's where I like to socialize. It's on one street, practically, of a barrio. I didn't know it existed either. And I think it's kind of funny, because some of my early experiences with women here have been with Santanderianas, and a lot of them have been crazy, so now I socialize in this Santandercito.
My wife is... sorry. She's completely crazy.
I just, as is my wont, I was wandering around and I kind of discovered a few little tiendas, and of course there aren't many foreigners that side of the city either, because people who don't know Bogota that well, they go, "Oh, Brendan's living up the north, Mr. Moneybags." But as I always say, no, the rich part is kind of from about Chapinero Alto to about 150. Once you go further than that, you're back into more normal in inverted commas, whatever you want to say.
Expansion city.
Exactly.
Can you describe a little bit? Well, I mean, where Santander City?
Yeah, well, where it is. So it's not that far off the Autopista and Puerta del Norte.
Okay.
So it's between 180 and 183. with 16-15 Carrera 16-15 wow. Yeah, so around there. So yeah, it's pretty north.
A nosebleed.
Yeah,
so far.
But it's like people have said to me, "Oh, like careful when you walk around." I've never felt unsafe there. Yeah. And what I like, I've got my little panaderia, I've got a little tienda where everybody knows me now. Mm. And we were talking earlier as well that it's almost like little Venezuela at the moment. I'm guessing because most Venezuelans that come to the country come in via the north and they've just seemed to settle there. It's in most panaderias, restaurants, it's the Venezuelan accent that dominates.
Which goes, kind of links nicely into your prostitute story.
Oh,
right. Which is not a prostitute.
Well, title of prostitute story.
But so mainly Venezuela. Very interesting that because we see the moneyed Venezuelans in this kind of area, coming down, buying buildings and getting their money out of Venezuela. But it's a more sort of a more humble Venezuela where you are.
Oh, for sure.
What's
yeah.
Really suffering from what's happening next door.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they're just coming here to work in anything, and escape. I mean, I've spoken to a number of them because, as I said, a lot of them work in the panaderias that I drink in there. A lot of them are university graduates as well, but they're just working 12-hour days, and that's the one difference. Because I've spoken to a few, the Colombians who live there, and they make a point, and I'm just saying this, don't shoot the messenger, but the Colombians are quick to say that the Venezuelans tend to not have a great work ethic. I know it's a generalization again, but that's what I hear a lot of the time.
I assume it will be a blog at some point.
Maybe.
Following and thing. But it's very interesting. And sometimes I've seen this. So I would just say it's a traditional, would you say a working class barrio?
Oh, certainly working class, yeah. And actually a lot of Bojacenses as well there. Yeah,
women ain't make sense.
Yeah, of course. So I think, I believe it wasn't part of the city, but it's just the city has obviously grown into it. And I was talking to a guy there only a couple of weeks ago. He said he had one of the first houses there. So it's not colonial, obviously. It's rather new. So there's nothing fancy to it or anything attractive.
It's construction with the peeled brick.
Yeah, exactly. Right. There's nothing eye catching in it. But just really honest, decent people there, and it has a nice feel.
How do you go about finding a place to live? You just start drinking and then, in a little tienda, and then they say, well, I'm looking for a room to rent.
Well, I don't know what happened there. It was just through one of the buggers of short-term rentals, and there was a guy who had a room. And the thing is, I had an experience before that. So it's only since September I'm living there, of kind of going from one mediocre place, and I mean, there might be people listening that I've stayed with before, but I mean, maybe not that modern rooms or whatever. And I knew the area, and I knew this conjunto, and I knew it would be modern, and it recently built, maybe in the last 5 or 6 years, paying the same that I had been paying previously. And at the time, I was actually teaching a class in Macro Norte, so it all kind of fitted in together. And for me, because of the work, sometimes I work from home, sometimes I'm back in Event de Tres, but I move around the city. It doesn't bother me where I am, really. And with the Transmilenio nearby, it's not, you get around this city easily.
Yeah, I think this is the most important detail, of course. If you're in Bogota, you've got to be close or reasonably close to where you work, where, like the consistent work.
Yeah.
You can get around the city. The city is easily manageable around certain hours and things.
When there aren't strikes.
Yeah, when there aren't strikes. But that's the thing. If you're working like you said, like Macro Norte, and you don't want to be too far.
Yeah, but unfortunately, I'm not there anymore. So, but excuse me.
Sorry.
I like where I am now. I've kind of got an apartment where I'm sharing it, but I'm practically on my own there because the other two people are hardly ever there. So it's kind of nice, chilled out. And as writers to have that quiet time, it's nice.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely, I understand fully, but again, I don't have that quite.
Yeah, I know now with the child, it's more awkward.
But let's for the last few minutes talk a bit more and give you a bit more promotion towards this the iQuiz, the Bogota Pub Quiz. Now, what kind of people are you appealing to on this one? So it's the last Thursday of every month.
That's generally what we're going with, yeah.
And there's a Facebook page for it.
Yeah, so Facebook iQuiz Bogota, if you search, and there's a Twitter
page. Yeah, it's all there. And so, I mean, are you looking for mainly expats or Colombians or just people who are interested?
Well, I explained the format because it's good that we should say that, because for a lot of Colombians, they don't really get the concept of a quiz. You have to explain it. And when you say a quiz, they think, well, an exam or like a test in school, and they want to run a mile. But no, yeah, it's a fun thing. So you've... each table in the pub or the venue is a team. You can have teams. We generally say between four and six people, but if two people come and they don't want to play with anyone else, they can do that. Because
do you set up the teams or the people set
them? No, they set them up organically, usually. I mean, if you have two people here and two people there, we might say, why don't you join together? And it's actually better to have a mixture. You were saying to appeal to expats. I try and have it that there are questions very much related to Colombia that probably only a Colombian or somebody who's been living here a number of years would get.
Yeah.
For example, there's always a music round. Uh-huh. I'll always have songs from Colombia and Latino songs. Sometimes I get accused of having too many Tienda style songs in there
when Johnny I'm Rivera,
yeah, exactly, Vaginato and everything. But so it would be beneficial to have a mixture of Colombians and expats or Latinos. And then, like, there are picture rounds. So the standard quiz is five rounds. With 60 points available, because the music round you get double points for getting the artist and the song.
Wow.
Then usually there might be another audio round of movies or whatever, or two picture rounds. So again, like picture rounds, you don't, because people go, oh, do I need to have good English? But it's a picture round. It's like name the Disney characters or whatever. So you don't need to have good knowledge, or name the famous building or the famous tourism monument or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need obviously any language for that. You just have to name the thing. Or the last one we had currencies of the world images, so like just a picture of the note or a coin. And then there are normally two general knowledge rounds, which I generally write them in English, but if we need to explain things in Spanish, and there are always, as I said, Colombian or more Latino related questions.
Sure.
So that's how it works. It's been fun. I mean, it's a labor of love. I'm not going to get rich from it, but I like doing it. And
you
people seem to like it.
Prizes sent over from Ireland.
I had, yeah. Okay. They've kind of dried up a little bit.
But sponsorship.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm always looking for sponsorship. But the last quiz, Trans Solutions, this mate of mine, who has a translation company.
Mm.
He's American Venezuelan. And he sponsored lovely pint glasses.
Nice.
Just a little bit smaller than pint glasses with his logo on it and that. So, I'm always looking for different sponsorship. We did have Tullamore Dew, but since I've moved it to Cerveceria Gigante, he doesn't sell whiskey. So, obviously, I took the gamble of losing the Tullamore Dew sponsorship. But for the last quiz, am I allowed to have a go at my old sponsors? Well, they didn't give me the bottle of whiskey for the last quiz in the Red Lion in Barking Event the Threads, because they said they didn't have the budget. No, I kind of thought, come on, one bottle of whiskey.
A whiskey company.
Which, Tullamore Dew, it's not Diageo, but it's, Grant's.
They have the money.
Yeah, of course, exactly.
They have the money.
Yeah, so I was a little bit peeved with them there.
It's an Irish whiskey.
Yeah, it's an Irish whiskey, but Grant's obviously have the...
I don't know, I've never tried it.
There are only two Irish whiskeys available in Colombia.
Uh-huh.
Jameson.
Uh-huh.
And Tullamore Dew.
Okay.
And they're pretty... Now, I'm not a whiskey connoisseur. I don't tend to drink whiskey that much myself at all. Better that I don't, actually, to be honest. I won't go into that.
Honestly.
But people say it's a fine whiskey. Okay. Something like a Jameson, which, not top class, but it's not gutter stuff either.
Well, talking of gutter stuff, you being a gutter socialist, what does that mean?
Well, yeah, I don't know what that meant at the time. I must have been a bit tipsy when
you
I wrote that.
Angry.
Yeah, no, I think I just meant that it's some of the places I would socialise in wouldn't exactly meet the approval of some more gomelo type or whatever. But
no,
it's all fun. No, and as I said earlier, for me, it's the people. Not exactly. I don't have to be sitting in some fancy place. Just as long as I'm with good company. And I mean, that's why I say, like, La Perseverancia, I can't have this chat without mentioning Fernando, the great Fernando. We talked about no Irish bar here. If you go into Fernando's tienda, which, if anybody is interested, it's across from the plaza in La Perseverancia. It's on 31 with 4C, just on that corner. It's called Las Penelas, is the name on it.
Uh-huh.
You go in, there's a little Ireland flag and a little Roscommon flag, which is my county in Ireland, just hanging on the wall beside the picture of Jesus. So there you go.
Well, there you go. I think that's a good enough moment as any to bring us to a close. The Irish flag, Roscommon flag alongside Jesus in a shop in La Perseverancia. I like the image very much.
You've got to get down there, Rich.
I will get down there just to say, listen, I know why you've got that. But this has been really fun. It's been a fun conversation. It's been a fun chat here with Brendan Corrigan here at Columbia Calling. I know that my listeners have enjoyed this. We've been serious for a few weeks with book reviews and so on, but this is a fun one. It sounds like we're sitting here drinking the black stuff, but it's black in the terms of it's coffee. It's not. We've not been drinking Guinness today, unfortunately. But anyway, listen, let me say thank you to Brendan Corrigan for being on Columbia.
Thank you, Richard. Thank you.
Pleasure. It's been a real pleasure. And listen, if you're coming to Columbia or if you're in Columbia and you're in Bogota, the last Thursday of the month, remember, it's the iQuiz, the Bogota Pub Quiz. You can find it on Facebook, Google it, and look up Brendan for The Wrong Way Corrigan on El Tiempo, and of course his Twitter handle, @RadioBrendan. So that's me signing off for today, episode 189. Thank you again for listening. Come back next week, because we'll be back again. Thank you.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.